You're in Two with Spencer on Sports here on 1600 ESPN. Eastern Iowa's home for sports as we continue our coverage of Big Ten football media days. 3 days this year. And we're rounding out our coverage by talking to our good friend Big Ten Ted. He's actually locked in. Maybe a little preview of the fall, but he and I are working on bringing him back to our show for the fall and into the Big Ten football season, which is just a few short weeks away. And who better to talk to on Big Ten football media days than Big Ten Ted, one of the best Big Ten YouTubers out there, and kind enough to give us some time here this afternoon. Ted, it's been a while. How you doing?
Oh, I'm great. Yeah, it's been a minute. It's been a minute, you know, since Michigan hoisted the trophy in Houston there at the end of the season. But, and a Big Ten member of the future at the time, now of the present in Washington, they were able to win against. Well, I'm sure we'll cover some West Coast flavor in this, but yeah, it feels different, you know. No Big Ten West, RIP. You know, we've got some West Coast flavor, as we said, coming in. It's great to have it back. It's great to kind of be through Big Ten media days and having heard what everybody had to say. But yeah, a little bit of new flavor, a little bit of different, I think, has certainly provided some stuff to kind of keep some Big Ten fans on their toes as we approach the season.
Let's start there with the newcomers. In your opinion, Ted, how do these new four teams fit into the Big Ten that we know and love? Now the Big 18, I guess you could say.
Yeah, this is gonna be fun. You know, styles make fights. It's one of my favorite sayings out there, because I think what we have here in Big Ten country, we have a certain football culture. We have a certain football lifestyle that we've adapted to, tough run games, defense, you know, the typical bring your lunch pail to work Big Ten type of lifestyle. You go out west, and specifically coming off of maybe the best Pac-12 season maybe ever, where there were so many great quarterbacks, there were so many great passing offenses that put up some big-time numbers. This is such a clash in styles, and this is what I love about these specific four teams coming in. I mean, I'll start with Oregon. This is the team that, right day one, they kind of remind me of when Penn State joined in 1993, when they're coming in and they're going to notch in towards the top of the conference. I mean, what Dan Lanning has been able to do there, this he is building a flat-out monster in Eugene, Oregon. They've always had the resources, and now you put them into a Power 2 type of conference, and you can tell the NIL backing that certainly they have. They have an extremely talented team. That's a team that can win a Big Ten championship in year number one. You go down the list, you go to USC, you go down to Southern Cal, and we know the defensive struggles that they've had, but you also look at the track record that Lincoln Riley has had over there, especially with quarterbacks, a trio of Heisman Trophy winners at Oklahoma, and then, of course, the one with Caleb Williams. You know, when you talk about Big Ten, we talked about it, you know, kind of at the beginning of this segment, is, you know, the Big Ten culture, right? It's defense. It's toughness in the trenches. That's not exactly USC football right now. So how they are going to adjust, that's one of the most intriguing things to me right now. You look at Washington. This is a team that played in the national championship last year, but this is not even close to the same team that played for the title against Michigan back in January. Losing your head coach, even lost your athletic director. I think the president is no longer there, kind of extending beyond the football field, and so many players are new. Jed Fish, of course, coming in. This is the ultimate mystery to me, right? They are replacing a Joe Moore award-winning offensive line. And, you know, what they have on the O-line and the D-line, big-time question marks to be answered there. I really like their skill positions. Will Rogers coming in at quarterback. They got a duo in running backs with Jonah Coleman from Arizona, Cam Davis coming off of an injury. They've got these good wide receivers. You know, I know they're following a generational wide receiver room, but I do like what they have over there as well. And then UCLA, right? That team that's maybe, I mean, you lose Chip Kelly in February after two national signing days, right? Really late in the cycle. Deshaun Foster is putting more of an emphasis into recruiting. Certainly right now, they've got some good skill players, but this is a team that's in big-time rebuilding mode down there in Westwood. So it's going to be very interesting to see how those four really slot into the rest of the Big Ten this year.
Ted, I know you mentioned Oregon a little bit when we talked about the newcomers, but who is in the mix, in your opinion, for a Big Ten championship here in 2024?
I really think there's four teams realistically that have the roster, offense, defense, coaching, special teams, that have everybody in the room that can realistically win the title. I think it's Oregon and Ohio State. That's my tier one, right? Of course, that is going to be an outstanding matchup on October 12th. We could see a rematch in Indianapolis when all is said and done as well. And I think my next two, I think, are Michigan and Penn State sitting right there as well. Like, I think a lot's got to go right for Michigan to get really back into that discussion right now. That defense is, they are nasty. Like, when we talk about all that was lost at Michigan, from the Harbaughs to the Corums to the McCarthys and some of the Jesse Minter, the defensive coordinator, to everything that was lost, you know, this is still a really, really good defense. One of the country's top defenses. Donovan Edwards can be the Big Ten's leading rusher when all is said and done. I know they lose pretty much their entire offensive line, but they've recruited really well in a lot of these blowouts, kind of these second and third teamers on the O-line. They've gotten some Big Ten experience now, albeit in garbage time, but still, they've been in there and certainly got some experience as well. And then you talk about the Nittany Lions, the Penn State. Andy Kotelnicki coming over from Kansas. I think the goal there is for this offense to open up a little bit, get a little bit more creative. It seems to be in a box with Mike Yurcich, but Drew Aller, you know, there's been some different opinions on how his first year really went in Happy Valley. I think one thing was important with him, he protected the football, and that's going to be very important for Penn State to really reach their goals this season. I like the talent they have. Tom Allen, we love him here in Big Ten country, coming over as the defensive coordinator over there. He's got a lot of talent to work with. You know, kind of like Michigan, I think just a lot of things really need to go right for Penn State to realistically be in that discussion as well. But right now, I think Oregon and Ohio State, those are national title contenders right now in a 12-team era. I'm not sure if I can say Michigan and Penn State are national championship contenders right now. They, once again, they could be if everything goes right. But when I look at the talent and coaching and everything that exists with the Ducks and the Bucks, those are kind of the teams at the top that I think could make it to Indy.
Big Ten Ted joining me here on 1600 ESPN. All right, you gave me your top four. Who are the teams that are kind of next in line, maybe bubbling under, or some dark horse teams, if you will, that maybe we should be taking a closer look at or could be talking about coming up toward the end of the season?
When we look outside those top two tiers, we got to go with your home squad there in the Iowa Hawkeyes over there. The schedule is favorable. Four out of the six old Big Ten West teams are on their schedule. Only three Big Ten East teams are on their schedule. That's fairly normal in how the crossover games worked in the previous era of the Big Ten. They get Washington, and they get them at home. They got to go to UCLA, so the West Coast matchups are very favorable as well for the Hawkeyes. We're going to beat this thing in we're going to be talking about it. It's the offense. It's the offense. It's the offense. It's the offense. Cade McNamara is healthy, right? That's obviously a step in the right direction. They improve the floor of the quarterback room, bringing in Brendan Sullivan. Man, that defense. It's just, you know, here's the thing about this conference this year is you're going to have – I mean, you got Michigan in this conference. You got Penn State. You got Oregon. Like, the fifth best defense in this conference, not saying that that's Iowa, right? But whoever it is, they're going to be maybe a top 10, top 15 defense overall in the country. There's some really good defenses. Iowa is one of those best, of course. You've got a deep, deep defensive line with guys like Deontay Craig-White, Black, Aaron Graves, and others up front. You know, linebacker. You got the best linebackers, in the two best linebackers in the country. I think both might both reside in Iowa City with Nick Jackson and Jay Higgins, and we know about that secondary as well. You know, some other teams to watch. This is kind of where things get a little bit murky for me. I mentioned USC before. If their offense and that passing game can click, and they've got some really good weapons on the outside, and they're young, and we got to see it from them outside of that bowl game against Louisville. But, man, if this team is clicking, and if this offense and Miller Moss, if they're clicking like they are in the Holiday Bowl, that could really pose some matchup problems for some Big Ten defenses out there. So I'd watch out for them. Wisconsin is such a mystery right now. I mean, they're coming off a 6-6 and a 7-5 regular season the past 2 years. The big question for them is Tyler Van Dyke. Which TVD are we going to get? Are we going to get it from 2021, or is it going to be more like the inconsistency that we saw last season? It's just, you know, that's such a mystery to me. But I think at their peak, year two of Luke Fickell, I think you got to trust Luke and the coach that he's proven to be. And they've got good talent. It's just all got to come together, and they got to get good quarterback play. But they do have that tough schedule as well. maybe much to the chagrin of maybe some of your listeners, I'm going to throw Nebraska in there as well. I mean, that they have Dylan Raiola at quarterback is probably this season the most talented quarterback they've had, let's just say, in a long time. Over there. Now, I know he's a true freshman, probably going to make some mistakes down the road. The schedule is favorable, specifically early in the season. That is a really good, and most importantly, a really experienced defense. A lot of fourth, fifth-year guys on that defense. And the older a football team gets, you know, that in today's day and age of college football, that generally means the better a unit is. So I really like that defense. We'll see how the skill positions really work out for them in the run game. You know, I think they're both they have a decent amount of depth. Do they have really high-end players at wide receiver and running back? I'd probably say no. But I think this is a Nebraska team. Because of their early favorable schedule, I think that they can certainly play some good football.
All right, here's one for you, Ted. Without divisions in the Big Ten, which teams are benefiting the most or are set to benefit the most from that, or which teams are going to kind of struggle without divisional play in the Big Ten, in your opinion?
Well, that's such an interesting talking point right now because, you know, in the Big Ten East teams, like you look at your Maryland's, your Indiana's, your Rutgers, you know, teams like that, that certainly benefit, right? Maryland has been one of those teams that, you know, they've gone 7-5, you know, win the bowl game to go to 8-5 these last handful of seasons. But you're almost chalking up at this time of year, these previous couple of years, you're chalking up losses to Michigan, Ohio State, and Penn State every year. But, you know, now some of these teams, they'll lose one of these teams, but they'll pick up an Oregon. I mean, they'll pick up a USC, and when you match up Maryland against USC, who they do play this year, you know, Rutgers matches up against USC this year. You know, it's a very different game. Now, I'm not saying USC is equal to Michigan or is equal to kind of some of those other Big Ten East powers, but you're kind of trading off. But, yeah, it's those kind of group of three that I kind of looked at right away. Like, I'm specifically looking at the Rutgers Scarlet Knights, right? Rutgers does not play Michigan. They don't play Penn State. They don't play Ohio State. They also don't play Oregon this year, which is why a lot of people feel like they're kind of a team that could be that sleeper 8 or 9 win type of football team this year. So Rutgers is certainly one. The way the schedule shaped out this year, that's certainly one to keep an eye on over there as maybe benefiting from no divisions this year. But, you know, overall, you know, the Big Ten released the next 4 or 5 years of schedules. It's a lot of, hey, we lose Michigan, but we pick up Oregon. Hey, we lose Penn State, but we pick up USC or something like that. So, you know, does it all come out in the wash? Maybe some years it does, maybe some years it doesn't, but this year, 2024, I think Rutgers could be the big beneficiary.
All right, Ted, what should folks be looking for from you on Big Ten Ted YouTube channel as we get closer and closer to the start of the season?
Well, it is a great time to be subscribed over there as well because, you know, last week, Friday, July 19th, the reveal date of the CFB 25 video game, you kind of started my Big Ten previews team by team, started with Michigan, and just head on over there. We've got 2+ weeks previewing every team, 30-minute previews from reporters from the On3 Network, Rivals Network, 247 Lockdown Networks as well. So team, you know, we're going position by position, breaking them down, leading up until the season. We got some really exciting things, you know, coming up before the season, right before the season starts as well. But right now we're doing in-depth 30-35 minute previews of each team right now. So if you want to know not only about your team, but maybe some of the West Coast teams coming in, maybe what's going on with your rivals, you know, you're maybe going to want to check that out. A lot of good information.
Awesome, Ted. I appreciate it as always. And we will talk to you again for the season itself in about a month. Okay.
All right. Looking forward to it.